Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John Downing, a very good morning to you. A couple of sunny days doesn't make a summer. One swallow doesn't make a summer also. What do two by-elections make for both government and opposition parties, John, as an indicator of future performance?
Well, they don't change the Dáil arithmetic. So I suppose they can argue that not huge. A morale boost for Fine Gael, I think, the tarnished Simon Harris, a lucky general in this one, didn't do as well as they had hoped in Dublin Central. But winning a seat and Sean Coyne kind of bucking the received wisdom that government parties don't win by elections is certainly a morale boost. Very bad news for Fianna Fáil. They did worse than expected. It now means basically they haven't won in Dublin Central, which used to be the great fiefdom of Bertie Ahern for more than 30 years. Lost the deposit there, didn't get the expenses. Poor showing in Galway West, where Eamon O'Queeve used to be king for a long time. Very bad news for Sinn Féin not to win that seat in Mary Lou MacDonald's bailiwick. But and you know they'll be left sort of scratching their heads and trying to say they should be able to pick up second seats if they are realistic about leading the next anybody but Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael coalition. But there you have it. A great success for the Social Democrats, who are kind of political flavour of the month at the moment. Daniel Lennis winning there. It may be a problem for them next time. It may not. Hard to see them holding two. But there will be a surge of extra seats when the next election comes around. And God knows how they will be configured.
Yeah, and so, that's all part of the calculations from that as well, where they will be going, what constituencies they will be in. But would Sinn Féin be worried about the fact that there maybe would? And look, each area has its own peculiarities. You have to say that. But would they be worried that their message isn't resonating enough for people, that they are the alternative rather than the Sock Dems or People for Profit or anybody else?
Yes, the lead absolutely. Absolutely. And they're under pressure from on their left flank and on their right flank. And you have the likes of Independent Ireland eating into their vote with a strong message on migration. So it will be difficult for them. They have been the nearly party for quite a while now. Mary Lou MacDonald is leader since 2017. We've had elections, locals and Europeans in 2019, general election in 2020, locals and Europeans again in 2024, and then the general election in November 2024. All of them proved disappointing for Sinn Féin. So I think they will be going back to the drawing board again and trying to rethink. I mean, basically, they have been hammering the whole cost of living issues.
Yeah. Piers Doherty was in Killarney last night, John, at a cost of living crisis meeting organised by Sinn Féin. So they're going on the road trying to emphasise this message, saying the government don't care about you. We care. Yeah. We will spend the money. We will sort you out. Vote for us next time.
Yes. I think, you know, there is a logic to it. They find different ways of repeating that story as often as they can. And that for now is their strategy. But they may decide it's not enough of itself, that they may have to vary it.
They may do. John, a final word on the by-elections, particularly in much has been made by Labour of the performance of Councillor Helen Ogbu, and maybe better than expected, but are they neglecting to remember that this was Catherine Connolly's seat, who was former Labour, now independent obviously for many years, now President of Ireland. This was Michael Dee's seat. This was a Labour seat.
Yes, and bar Limerick and bar Kerry, but that's been gone for a long time. It's gone to Sinn Féin, but the Springs, since the 1940s, held a seat there for a very long time. But yes, one of the few Labour presences on the Western Seaboard. But they will argue that with that performance, they have the makings of regaining what was kind of a dissident Labour seat, regaining that for Labour next time. So, yeah, I mean, everybody in the wake of an election tries to put the bright side out and look at, you know, more positive possibilities.
Yeah.
They'd have to be worried about
the Sock Dems, though, now, John, wouldn't they? There was a lot of talk about, oh, they need to merge. Will the Sock Dems be looking around going, why would we want to merge with Labour at the moment? We're doing fine.
If there was to be a merger, it would be a kind of reverse merger. I mean, I have said and written many times before that I believe they should merge because put together, they would be quite a chunk of trade. And put together, they would be a sensible voice for working people. But up to now, it was a personality thing, really, in my own view. But, you know, that remains to be played out. Labour, they will always tell us they're older than the state, and I believe there will always be some manifestation of a Labour Party, a Social Democrat Party, in a socially progressive party that recognises the market forces and the need for them and all the rest of that. So, there's a bit more to be played in this.
Yeah. And John, finally, there's a danger to draw all sorts of conclusions from one by-election. But in Galway West, Sheila Garrity lives in Knocktacarra for 25 years. Family hails from Leitrim in East Galway, a university lecturer. She was the continuity Catherine Connolly candidate due to her progressive left policies and her role as a former campaign manager for the president, but didn't play well. And didn't perform. And is that a sign that progressive policies are maybe to an extent falling out of favour in rural Ireland? Rural Ireland moving more populist, moving more right.
I wouldn't read that much into it. I think it basically comes down to a lack of recognition for her
recognition.
In the constituency. No, nobody knew who she was, quite simply.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was part of it. Okay, John, that's the by-elections. The Social Democrats are flexing their muscles or whatever they're doing. They're looking for a non-alcoholic drinks advertising ban that's featured in the Dáil this week. This has been attempted before, back in 2011. It didn't work then. It has implications for jobs, I know. There's a lot of lobbying on either sides of this.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the first thing the government side, they will say to you privately, look, as you say, a lot of jobs already, the Irish whiskey business and under pressure from Trump tariffs in the USA, very important market, the drinks sector generally. The argument is, look, they keep, they're basically selling alcoholic drink, but using the non-alcohol thing to get round restrictions on advertising for alcohol. So the argument, they say it's about 1% of the market. Now, the manufacturers of non-alcoholic drink will tell you that it's a growing market. And we see it ourselves in the supermarkets and the off-licenses. This argument is there. The government basically dodged this one, pushed by the Social Democrats. The government basically said, let's get HICWA to go away. The evidence that it, in actual fact, subliminally or indirectly, you're promoting alcoholic drink is, the government side says, inconclusive. So they've asked HICWA, the Health Standards Authority, to go away and evaluate this research and perhaps do their own research. So look, this one has been kicked kicked basically into the terraces again for another while anyway.
Yeah, it certainly is. Now, John, we talked yesterday with Piers Doherty about his cost of living, as you mentioned, meeting in Killarney last night. Sinn Féin made a big play this week of the government's handling of disability services. Now, the government have been under pressure on this before, particularly Simon Harris, and it even featured in the presidential campaign as well of Heather Humphreys. Sinn Féin calling for a €500 emergency handicap payment, and they're also saying that there should be right away brought in this permanent payment for people with disabilities to help deal with the cost of living crisis and the other costs of disability. So how is this one going to play out, do you think? Do they spot a weakness on behalf of the government? The government are saying, look, no, we're getting things together, it'll be part of the budget.
It's a tricky one for government. Various advocates for disabled people have been on this case for a while. They've had two big street demonstrations. We're probably going to see more of that. They say, I was listening to a man from the Wheelchair Association saying, all right, look, a one-off €500 payment now would be very helpful, but it's not enough. They say that when the one-off payments, particularly the electricity allowance, when they were stopped last time, they disproportionately affected people who are left to depend on the handicapped allowances, and they're looking. They say that people on very low incomes, and they are on low incomes, let's acknowledge that, say that they're 1,400 per year less well off at this point. So the government is in a very difficult position as a result. They may get away with holding off for the budget. There were some very, very hot exchanges. As I was saying to you about Sinn Féin, looking for other ways of delivering the same message. So this week, very, very hot exchanges between the Taoiseach and the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, in the Dáil chamber on this issue. It will recur.
Yeah, it certainly will. John, we'll stay with that. We'll go talk more about this. A soccer game in the Aviva Stadium last night. Tennis balls were on the pitch. It's all to do with Israel versus Ireland down there. We'll talk about that and the political fallout next.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John, a listener gets in touch, says, hi, Gerry and John. Some political history. Only three by-elections have been won by sitting government in government in the last 40 years, and all three won by Fine Gael. There you go. They seem to have a knack for it. John, can I ask you about the... Well, I suppose this is going to be an on-running political and societal row over the next couple of months, isn't it? We saw it last night, Ireland playing Qatar in a friendly at the Aviva Stadium. Tennis balls were thrown on the pitch by a section of Irish supporters, unhappy at the plan of the FAI to play this game in the UEFA Nations League, coming up two games, one away, one at home, in the next while. It manifested itself in the Dáil this week in the Occupied Territories Bill, which is the same row, really, that we're not doing enough to oppose what Israel is doing in the Middle East.
Yes, absolutely. And then this is a very difficult one. And we heard Daniel Ennis, the new Sock Dem TD for Dublin Central, and a former League of Ireland player with Shelburne and Bray Wanderers and so on. We heard him advocating Ireland boycotting this game, which is it's a very loaded issue. Because, I mean, if you boycott, well, you're thrown out of the competition, and there probably are other consequences arising from that as well. And you go back in the history of these things, it's very hard to find a consistent line. I mean, I have memories of Thomond Park in Limerick in the early 70s with the Springboks coming from South Africa. So it is, it's very, very loaded. Check your prejudices and see. It's It's a hard one to win. It's hard to be consistent about it because one person's boycott is another person's, you know, cop-out.
Yeah.
So it goes on. And you're quite right. It will go beyond politics. We heard the government kind of informally gave its backing to RTE's decision to stay out of the Eurovision Song Contest because of Israel. And similarly, they are tacitly backing the FAI decision to fulfill this fixture, two fixtures, September and October. So we're going to hear a lot about this through the summer. But the ministers aren't going to attend.
No.
So it's a kind of Irish solution going on
to an
here.
Irish problem, yeah. Know? And here's a little bit of what Micheál Martin said. He got a bit riled up at Richard Boyd Barrett, again attacking him for not including services in the Occupied Territories Bill. And he made a point about what he feels is happening when it comes to the opposition or the left opposition on the Israel issue. Sorry.
If you talk to Jordan, if you talk to Egypt, if you talk to anybody in the Gulf and the Middle East, the first thing they say, thank you. Thank you to the Irish government for leading on this.
I mean, you're not particularly interested one way or the other. It's about campaigning. It's about attacking this government. It's not really trying to explain to people what are the impacts and implications of all of this. So, okay, you want to ban trade with Israel? Do you want Intel to stop dealing with its sister company in Italy? Yeah, fine. Talk to the thousands of workers in Ireland working with Intel. What happens there? Have you walked even through? Have you walked through the chair? Have you walked through the implications of it? Has anybody in the opposition done an assessment of what it would mean economically? Have you? Do you give a continental if the US goes south because of what we might do there? That's great. It's great to be virtuous, Deputy. But the workers' representative, you lack all virtuosity when it comes to protecting Irish workers. We have to take everything on board and be sensible about it. And at the same time, yes, we have been principled. We're one of the few European member states that has stood out there. And if you talk to the Palestinian Authority, if you talk to Jordan, if you talk to Egypt, if you talk to anybody in the Gulf and the Middle East, the first thing they say, thank you. Thank you to the Irish government for leading on this. But no, you can't ever say anything like that, because that doesn't suit the campaign.
There you go. That's Micheál Martin on Richard Boyd Barrett and the Dáil on Tuesday. Does he have a point? It's all fine to be virtuous. We have to worry about the Intel workers and take the wider economic view.
Yeah, I mean, by and large, I think very many people will go with Micheál Martin's take on things on that issue. We have to keep a sense of perspective of how we do and don't fit in this world. We're a nation of 5.3 million people. The European Union, for example, has 450 million people. So, yeah, I think we have to keep a sense of perspective and pragmatism about protecting Irish jobs. I think Taoiseach has a pretty solid argument there in saying, well, you wouldn't thank me if you found there were hundreds and more Irish jobs put in jeopardy by overplaying the hand on these things. Though I do accept, I mean, it's one of these intractable issues because hundreds of thousands worth of trade, it's pretty small stuff, really, in goods from the occupied territories. It is clear that services are probably far more, you know, in question here, and that could have some impact. But there are the two arguments. The first is, look, that is so interwoven with the United States that we could leave ourselves open to very serious retaliation by the USA. And against that, then there's the question of most services are relayed via the internet. How do you stop that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
an open question. That's for sure.
But I would have to say I see a lot of merit in the arguments outlined by the Taoiseach in the Dáil this week on this issue.
Yeah, indeed, John. We're out of time. We'll talk more about Niall Collins taking over from Michael Healy-Rae's Minister for Agriculture, Catherine Arda being put in Dublin. as a junior minister in justice that tells a story, I suppose, about Fianna Fáil trying to bolster things up in Dublin for that. But we're out of time. John, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week with Call from the Dáil.
Okay, talk to you, Gerry.
There you go, there's John Downing with Call from the Dáil. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us on the programme. Lots more on the way on Kerry Today.